It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew chapter 5. We're going to begin reading with the 17th verse, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. So if you'd please open your Bibles and follow along with us as we read the precious Scripture. And as we're doing that, preparing to do that, I'd like to share with you that the program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to phone us here at the church, it's 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you'd like to visit to email us, it'd be parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Hope that was enough time now for you to prepare for the study today in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no way, no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave thee thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. We're going to stop right there and just begin the study. It's a joy to study the Word of God, and so please that you'll listen carefully as we enjoy the time here. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you that we can come and enjoy this time. Just speak to our hearts now, Father, and just show us your way and will each and every day, dear Lord, please. It's so important that we hear from you, we trust in you, and we walk with you, dear Father. So please just guide and lead us each and every way and each and every day, Father. And so please now take this precious word and show it to our hearts and let us live and enjoy your presence through your living word here and with you in our hearts as a believer. Because, Father, we know that the day we ask you to come into our heart and to save us and forgive us from our sins is the day that we become born again, saved, kept forever. Thank you, Father, for that wonderful promise and work that you've done on the cross for us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have the opportunity here to look up some scripture verses concerning this last scripture text that we have just read. In the 17th verse there, why the desire is to the Think not that I am come to destroy, and that means to tear to pieces, as we've looked at. And when we look at the law and the prophets, that covers all of the Old Testament scripture, because we find that the five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, we see that they are really connected here and important to understand and to study. But also, we need to recognize that it's all of the Word of God. And of course, when Jesus is speaking, it was just the Old Testament. And now we have the new, as he has added it to that, to in its completeness. And so many times when it speaks of the law and the prophets, it's talking about the law as these first five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then the prophets is the rest of the Old Testament. And so what a joy it is to study the Word of God and to look at it each and every day. And so it is such a joy all the time to look and to know what's in the Word of God, so that we may live according to it, because it's God's living Word. So many of the Jews placed much importance on this, and so their concern was that, is it going to be done away with? Is that what you're trying to do here, coming up with new doctrines and new ways? And he is saying, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now we need to really look at that and enjoy that. And so it will be fulfilled, to make full, to complete. It is more than fulfilling. It is the filling out, the expanding, the completing. And Jesus did not come to relax the restrictions of the law, but he came to fulfill them. The law was not designed at any point in time to forgive sins or to save sinners. And we looked at that verse of Scripture in Romans chapter 3, verse 20. And Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament with the offerings and the sacrifices, the ceremonial law that was observed under it. Jesus did not come to destroy it. He came to complete it, to fulfill it. And Jesus was made under the law, and we looked that up in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5 last time we were together. So by his holy, sinless life and his sacrificial death on the cross, Jesus fulfilled all the types contained in the laws of Moses and the prophets. And so what a wonderful point to start with now with review. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9, and Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 through 26. Quite a few verses of Scripture, but very important for us to read. Hebrews chapter 9, 11 through 26. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, entered he in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, that which are called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there also was necessary to be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force, after men are dead. Whosoever otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Now, you know, it's something to read these verses of Scripture, and we're going to talk about them here. Don't think that you're going to be in the dark here, because we're going to be talking about what they're talking about here in Hebrews in just a few minutes. Let's go on with verse 18. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered to the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and has appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear a second time without sin unto salvation. What a beautiful scripture verse. Now, we're going to take some time here just a little bit, because most folks don't realize that when the law was received, the Ten Commandments up on Mount Sinai, when those were received, most folks don't recognize, don't realize, do not study the Old Testament and come to the wonderful acknowledgement that there was also something else given. And that was all the offerings, the sacrifices, all those things was told to Moses on what to do, and also the means to sacrifice these offerings. And that was a building, a tent-like building called a tabernacle. And so there were many sacrifices, but the one it really refers to here, when it talks about only once, and it's so important that we find and realize, that's verse 24 of the chapter in Hebrews there, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which is our figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others." Now the others there was a goat. There was two goats. And the high priest had something in his kind of a pouch affair in the garment that he wore, and God used that at that time. Now we're not to have that now because we have the Holy Spirit. But at that time, they would take those cubes and they would tell them yes or no. And so the high priest would use those to decide which goat was to be put to death, which goat was to live. And so that was the place we were at. And so as we looked at those, at that circumstances, one was allowed to stay alive and the other was put to death, but the blood was caught. And that blood then went through the courtyard into a room called the Holy Place. And that room was 30 foot by 15 foot walls, ceiling height, and then had golden walls, acacia wood overlaid with gold, and then had a white linen ceiling that was beautifully embroidered with cherubims. And then we go forwards, and in that room there were three pieces of furniture, a table of showbread, lampstand, and incense altar. Now you go right through that, into the next room, which was called, that was the Holy Place. The next room is the Holy of Holies. In there was the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. That room was 15 by 15 and 15 foot high ceilings. Same gold walls and the beautiful embroidered ceiling. Once a year, only once a year, the high priest, not any priest, just the high priest, him alone, would first, according to the law of Moses, have to have a bullock, a calf, killed, catch the blood. That man, that high priest, would confess his sin, and he would take that and go through the holy place into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle that blood upon the mercy seat. Because you cannot appear before God without the blood. Now, that was a bullock, a calf. And then he had to come back out. They would make the choice of which goat. One would be put to death. That blood then would be taken in and sprinkled upon the mercy seat, same thing, go right through the courtyard, right through the holy place, right into the Holy of Holies. This is called the Day of Atonement. It was only done once a year, every year. And that's what this scripture is talking about. We don't have to do that anymore. But the high priest at that time had to do it. Yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He offered himself as our Savior. And that's the picture we have with this goat. This goat was an innocent of the whole situation, innocent of everything. And yet, that innocent sacrifice died. And so, that was God's plan, God's choice. That blood was taken in, sprinkled upon the mercy seat. And the only way that that gold slab on top of the Ark of the Covenant becomes a mercy seat is when the blood's applied. They were commanded never to enter into the Holy of Holies without the blood. Now, when that high priest then would go in, then he would come back out, and he would take those bloody hands of his and lay them on the head of the live goat, and he would begin to confess all the sins of the nation of Israel. And he would confess those sins. And then when he was finished, then the scripture tells us that men would take that goat, lead him up into the hills, never to return. What a beautiful picture of what our Lord and Savior has accomplished on the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood, and he took his precious blood and presented it to his Father in the Holy of Holies in heaven. Now, we had reference of that. It talked about not the tabernacle made with hands. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with a better sacrifice than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. He took his precious blood after he died on the cross, and he took that blood and he presented it to his Father in heaven. We need to rejoice. It was perfect blood. He was a perfect sacrifice. The reason that the sacrifice of the animals didn't work is because it was done on a yearly basis, because that sacrifice was not perfect. That goat wasn't perfect. That bullock wasn't perfect. So it had to be redone. It had to be every year. They had to do it again and again. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died once and he finished it all. He completed. There's when Moses went up on Mount Sinai, he went up and he got the Ten Commandments, yes, got all the law, but he also got all the provisions for the tabernacle and all the ceremonial law that went with it. And there was a purpose for it, because it was to show the people and remind the people of the great work that our Savior was going to do up on Calvary. And so when they received this, we're looking back about almost 1,400 years before Jesus went to the cross. And for that 1,400 years, they were supposed to repeat this over and over again, every single year, because the high priest wasn't perfect, the sacrifice wasn't perfect, but the example was, the picture was. It was of a beautiful, perfect picture of what was to come. And Jesus fulfilled all that. Yes, today we don't need to have a we don't have to bring our sacrifice to a man called a priest, and then he offers it to God. Now, if you do that, you've been misled, because my Lord, my Savior, Jesus Christ, has finished it all. And he did that 2,000 years ago. I can go right to the Father myself. And I pray in Jesus' name, because Jesus makes that opportunity available to me. I don't need to go through Jesus' mother. She was a very good woman, a very righteous woman, but she was a sinner just like all of us. There's nothing special about Mary other than when she was a vessel that God was able to use to bring a body to his Son. So I don't need now a mediator. My mediator is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my intercessor. And I can go right to God the Father through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, with every prayer and every request that I have. I don't have to go through a man. At this time, they had to go through a man, but that's been fulfilled. That's been completed. Now, there are many ceremonies and many things that went on through this tabernacle, and it's a wonderful study, and you'll learn it if you'll study the first five books of Moses, because it's a beautiful picture. Because, see, every single time that judgment comes, God always offers grace. And the grace here is through this tabernacle, through the offering, through what this high priest was doing for these people once a year. But my God, Jesus has finished that. And that's what we're talking about here. Now, that's a wonderful verse of Scripture here. And it tells us here in verse 18, I'll read it again, back to Matthew 5:18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. So you see, this was one of the processes here, the Day of Atonement, a very important day, but it was fulfilled. Now, again, you can understand that if you don't. Now, I'll just help you here just a little bit in the beginning of chapter 9. If you don't know anything about this tabernacle, you need to go back into Exodus and study it. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread. It was called the sanctuary, the holy place. And after the second veil, the tabernacle was called the holiest of all, or holy, the holy of holies. which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And over was the showbread. It talks about those things there. Now, it does put inside that second veil the incense altar. It was actually in the first one. The first room, but the incense went up forwards into the Holy of Holies as if it was a piece of furniture that was in that location. So it was a wonderful example there back in Hebrews. I hope that you've studied that, and it took quite a while to do that, but I want you to see that there were many things that were done as a picture, and Hebrews confirms that it's been completed, it's been finished. Now let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He was crucified. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And so when Jesus finished it, he fulfilled the law. The law condemned. The law kills. You want to try to keep the law. You want to try to keep some regulations your church has placed upon you. You're wasting your time. You're going to die in your trespasses and sins. Please come by faith to Jesus and be born again. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. I think we've got enough time to read this. I hope we do. If not, we'll start here next time we're together. Romans chapter 3, beginning with verse 20. Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he that the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. The law is perfect. We are the ones that are not perfect. We can't keep it. So the law condemns us. That's the reason Jesus died on the cross. That's the reason that the sacrifice of those animals didn't work. It was a picture, and they had to do it every year. And God accepted that every year, only because it was a picture of what was to come. And what was to come was the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was to save those that are lost, come by faith. Please, listen to the Word of God today. As you're convicted today, listen and say yes to Jesus. He died on the cross to save you. We don't need to bring offerings and sacrifices. He has done it all. We just need to come by faith to Him, trust in Him, and be born again. There's nothing more wonderful that can happen to your life and that's happened to my life than the day I met Jesus. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?